the conservativedailyblog.com show podcast. It's great to be back. It's been a while. About 20 days, I think, right, Mr. Producer? Anyways, I'm Brian, and as usual, your guiding light in a world of absolute cold and darkness. It's great to be back. We kind of ended it abruptly, 3 weeks ago, whatever, 20 days, and I never got a chance to really say that I was going on a vacation, but it was good to get away and clear my head a little bit. So much has happened, though, and I feel kind of guilty to, you know, the listeners out there that I was unable to commentate on the events that have transpired since the last time I've taken to the air, but thanks for being patient once again and sticking with us. The response to our podcast thus far have been great. I think, what are we at, Mr. Producer? I think about 5,000 subscribers. Perhaps I would say the top five conservative podcast on iTunes, on the iTunes podcasts right now. What are the podcast directory, whatever. But the response has been great, and we thank you for all your feedback via the emails. The email and the website are the website, www.conservativedailyblog.com, www.conservativedailyblog.com, and the email address is conservativedailyblog@gmail.com. Okay, so like I said, the format of the show when we first started was that we were going to discuss, of course, along with the news stories and the daily happenings and our great country today, are such issues dealing with our culture and issues of the present time, such as relationships and ultimate issues such as higher purpose and the pursuit of one's happiness and success in life. And one of the first issues that I think is a big problem in our times is narcissism. And the next time I wanted to take the air after our last broadcast, which was July 1st, was to discuss this with you. But there's so much going on with the healthcare and the overseas, Honduras, Iran type stuff that we're going to put that off for now and get into the big issue, the biggest issue right now, which is the healthcare. But as we do listen to our, to kind of change gears here, as we do listen to what our listeners send us via email and the feedback that you guys give us, before the show started, when I was doing my show prep, I received an email, like a video clip on YouTube, linking to this, what I'm about to play for you, just to kind of change, before we transition here, give you a little bit of this, just to ease the transition here. So, this is what devout listener sent me just moments ago.
The world watched as a regime spun out of control. They labeled political opponents domestic terrorists and warned of confrontations between such groups and government authorities. They proposed a civilian security force, and an American congressman warned it was exactly what Hitler did in Nazi Germany. Opposition heightened after voter fraud by the president's allies, including thousands of bogus voter registration forms. But wait, these press reports aren't about Iran. They're about Barack Obama's administration right here in the U.S. Obama's Department of Homeland Security labeled political opponents domestic right-wing terrorists. His administration took over companies like GM and pushed through taxpayer-funded bailouts that some have likened to socialism. And his political allies at Acorn have been found guilty of misconduct in the recent election. It's time to fight back against the leftist policies of Barack Obama, Harry Reid, and Nancy Pelosi.
So I guess not really quite relevant to what we're discussing now, but I just thought that was kind of a cool way of putting things together and shedding new light on absolute hypocrisy that is going on in Washington today. But let's get into the healthcare now. What a disaster this is. And if anyone thought that Obama would be a centrist once he was in office, now let's hear the apologies, people, because this is absolutely out of control. This man is a complete imposter. This administration has gone rogue on its citizens. We no longer live in a representative government, and anybody that thinks that should immediately surrender that belief, because there's the evidence is the cat's out of the bag now, people. It's time to wake up. It's time to embrace reality. It's time to get out of your drug-induced states. stand up for what you believe in, take a stance, because we are in trouble, and this healthcare is an absolute disaster. This plan, if you've read the bill, which you haven't, it's 1,000 pages of garbage. And celebrity in chief, well, he can't handle criticism, as we've seen multiple times. And once again, we have an audio clip to play for you in a second discussing why he wants to rush this through and the reason, his reasoning behind it, because in the past he reflects it against the Clinton administration's plan for health care and what the and he argues against what the Republicans were trying to do at that time and how it parallels and there's similarities between that and what they're trying to do today, which of course is completely false. As I've told you multiple times, I'm an independent conservative, but I have to back the Republican Party, even though they're showing total weakness in my eyes during this whole debate lately for this health care and Sotomayor, amongst other things. But I mean, if you can't take debate or a difference of opinion, I mean, you shouldn't be in political office. This guy can't accept criticism. This guy can't accept that if one person disagrees with him, then that's a problem. And we've seen that exhibited multiple times now. But before I play this next clip, let me read you the main story that's on the homepage of Drudge right now, titled, "Healthcare Battle Isn't About Me," says Obama. President Barack Obama on Monday shot back at Republicans who have suggested they can win political ground by opposing his healthcare reform proposals. "This isn't about me. This isn't about politics. This is about a healthcare system that is breaking America's families, breaking America's businesses, and breaking America's economy." And this is what Obama said on a visit to Washington Hospital today, Monday the 20th. The president went on the offensive after opposition appeared to be rising among lawmakers, unhappy with the massive health care reform plan proposed by his administration. Last week, South Carolina Republican Senator Jim DeMint predicted that Obama's plan would not pass Congress and said such a failure could be Obama's Waterloo, referring to the battle that effectively ended Napoleon Bonaparte's military career. "It will break him," DeMint said. Obama made direct reference to DeMint's predictions and called on lawmakers to avoid politics of delay and defeat, which we shall see in a minute in the PBS interview that Obama did this week. Well, I don't even know when that was. Today or this past weekend. He's on TV every day, so we can't keep it straight anymore. Anyways, continuing here. "There are others who recognize the problem but believe or perhaps hope that we can put off the hard work of insurance reform for another day." I'm tired of the word insurance, but "another year, another decade. There are too many lives and the livelihoods at stake for lawmakers to delay work on reforming the United States healthcare system," Obama said. Obama, who is battling to get lawmakers to pass healthcare reform legislation before they leave town at the end of July for their summer recess, made the comments at the Children's Hospital, whatever, blah, 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 blah. Who cares? It's all lies. It's all distortion. It's all Marxism. This has all been laid out long, long ago. But anyways, we're coming up on the break here. But when we get back, I want to play that interview Obama did on PBS, which I don't even know when it was. He does interviews every day, and I lose track, and I don't think anyone cares. It's all about him. And anyways, regardless, we'll play that interview on the way in, coming out of the break, and then we'll dive further into these healthcare issues being discussed in Washington now. And I'll be right back.
Correctly, that you're backing off the August deadline kind of thing, that you wanted this by, you wanted it passed by the August recess.
Here I think is a fair assessment, Jim. I want this done now.
Now, okay.
Now, if there are no deadlines, nothing gets done in this town. You've been around here long enough to know that you have to say, get this done. If somebody comes to me and says, it's basically done, it's going to spill over by a few days or a week, you know, that's different. If people say, as, for example, a Republican senator said over the weekend, that we just want to keep on delaying and delaying this thing because we think this is going to be Obama's Waterloo.
Senator DeMint of South Carolina said that.
And we can break him.
Yeah. What's that all about? What's he talking about?
Well, I think what he's talking about is there is a certain portion of the Republican Party that views this like they saw 93, 94. The last time there was a major health reform effort, they explicitly went after the Clintons, said, we're not going to get this done. That went down, and at least the history, the way it's viewed here in Washington, is that that's what helped defeat Democrats. So it was a pure political play, a show of strength by the Republicans that helped them regain the House. I think there are folks who think that, you know, we should try that, dust off that old playbook. What they don't recognize is that this isn't about me. It's about the American people. And things have gotten worse since 1993. More people are uninsured. Everybody's expenses are higher. The system's even more inefficient. And so rather than play political games, I expect people to try to be constructive. And to their credit, I think that there are Republicans on the Senate Finance Committee, Chuck Grassley, Olympia Snowe, Mike Enzi, who are engaged in some very difficult, very serious negotiations, despite some pressure from the political operatives in their party that say, you shouldn't try to be constructive or responsible. So I give them credit for that.
And I thought I had a problem with stuttering. I mean, no doubt it comes with inexperience, and this being only, under 10 podcasts I've done in my entire life. But the fact that people call him the greatest speaker of our time is kind of puzzling to me still. I can't listen to it. It's reading off the teleprompter is one thing. But anyways, can someone send me an email right now, or someone, maybe Mr. Producer or someone in the studio right now, tell me or bring clarity to this issue for a second here, because I'm having trouble probing my mind here, trying to remember a president that would address every criticism thrown in his direction. I can't think of one time this man hasn't come out against those who have opposed him. I mean, we start with Rush Limbaugh. You can't get things done and listen to Rush Limbaugh. Or Sean Hannity, I don't think there's much common ground we could agree with. Or I'd have a beer with him, though, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Or Fox News in general, talk radio. And now, of course, opponents of his, the opposite Republican Party, who, of course, are not in favor of his healthcare proposals, even though that they, even though they're just simply opposing his policies, he still takes it as an attack upon himself. And I just can't figure out a president who's done this in recent memory. Because, and again, when I say this, why enter into politics if you can't take it and you can't accept debate? Because obviously, as you know, this current administration will not, it's their way or the highway. They're not one to take opinions of other people or bring everybody's ideas to the table. The claim that he was going to have the most transparent administration and the most bipartisan policies reaching across the aisle, incorporating everyone's ideas and opinions into the legislation's past is hopefully now laid to rest and proved to be a complete lie on his part and the administration's part. I hope the American people start recognizing these kind of things. I mean, the media is not doing their job, obviously, but I would hope somewhat that we're starting to see a trend of people waking up and realizing this and going through other avenues to get their news. And YouTube and the blogosphere is really, really taken off. And I'm glad to see Republican candidates starting to use that medium, which the Obama campaign, the Obama machine employed during the candidacy, which I feel was a major part of them rallying the youth vote and rallying their base, obviously, which really didn't need to be done after George W. Bush, but they really made use of the technology aspect well, and McCain failed on every front in that regard. So I'm glad to see that, starting to shape up a little bit. But anyways, I'm Brian. Welcome back. ConservativeDailyBlog.com show podcast. Website, www.conservativedailyblog.com. And email address, conservativedailyblog@gmail.com. If you go to our site, you notice on the right-hand side, we've made quick links to my blog's post, which I've only done one, I believe. And then blogger Chris, who is a new... I don't know if I've mentioned him before. I think I admitted it last show. But he's a great writer, very knowledgeable on the issues of healthcare. And he's written two really great original pieces so far. So even though they're buried under the latest news stories, on the right-hand column, just click on the link that says Chris's blog, and it'll go to his two really well-thought-out posts that he's done thus far. So let's get back into the healthcare now. The Heritage Foundation has done a great job for the conservative movement in terms of research and getting facts together and presenting them well in an easy manner to digest. And today when I was doing show prep, I was trying to break down the healthcare legislation and what Obama's proposal exactly is. And I mean, every major site or major political outlet has these facts, but I really... intrigued and happy with and really satisfied with the way the Heritage Foundation has laid all this out. So they basically broke down Obama's ambitions for the healthcare plan into four parts here, and I'm going to read them to you now. The first is his idea for this healthcare is to expand eligibility for the existing public programs, including both the Medicaid and the state Children's Health Insurance Program, which is called SCHIP. The second is creating a national health insurance exchange to serve as a federal regulator of private insurance plans that would compete alongside a new national health care plan. But as you know, it's impossible when the government public option has no need to make a profit like the private insurance options do. So there's no competition. Just on that aspect alone. Okay, the third part now of his ambitions is providing income-related subsidies for those without employer-sponsored health care insurance while mandating that children have coverage. And finally, he's requiring that a medium and large employers provide coverage or pay a tax while extending tax credits to small businesses and creating a government reinsurance program to cover businesses' catastrophic health care costs. Well, I'm going to take another break right now, and when I get back, I'll continue with what research the Heritage Foundation has unearthed about the Obama healthcare proposal.
Back in 1927, an American socialist, Norman Thomas, six times candidate for president on the Socialist Party ticket, said the American people would never vote for socialism. But he said under the name of liberalism, the American people will adopt every fragment of the socialist program.
America, this is our moment. This is our time. Our time to turn the page
on the policies of the past. Our time to bring new energy and new ideas to the challenges we face. Our time to offer a new direction for this country that we love.
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
One of the traditional methods of imposing statism or socialism on a people has been by way of medicine. It's very easy to disguise a medical program as a humanitarian project. Most people are a little reluctant to oppose anything that suggests medical care for people who possibly can't afford it.
We've come so far in the debate on health care in this country, but now we must finally answer the call issued by Truman, advanced by Johnson. The very first promise I made on this campaign was that as president, I will sign a universal health care plan into law by the end of my first term in office.
Generations from now, we will be able to look back and tell our children that this was the moment when we began to provide care for the sick and good jobs to the jobless. This was the moment when the rise of the oceans began to slow and our planet began to heal. This was the moment when we ended a war and secured our nation and restored our image as the last best hope on earth. This was the moment. This was the time.
The doctor begins to lose freedoms. It's like telling a lie, and one leads to another. First, you decide that the doctor can have so many patients, they're equally divided among the various doctors by the government. But then the doctors aren't equally divided geographically. So a doctor decides he wants to practice in one town, and the government has to say to him, you can't live in that town, they already have enough doctors, you have to go someplace else. And from here it's only a short step to dictating where he will go. This is a freedom that I wonder whether any of us have the right to take from any human being. I know how I'd feel if you, my fellow citizens, decided that to be an actor, I had to become a government employee and work in a national theater. Take it into your own occupation or that of your husband. All of us can see what happens once you establish the precedent that the government can determine a man's working place and his working methods, determine his employment. From here, it's a short step to all the rest of socialism, to determining his pay. And pretty soon, your son won't decide when he's in school where he will go or what he will do for a living. He will wait for the government to tell him where he will go to work and what he will do.
Truly scary, I know. You have to put Reagan and Obama side by side like that to truly see the horrors of it all. Where is Reagan when you need him, right? WWRD. What would Reagan do? Anyways, folks, welcome back. This is Brian, as usual, coming at you. ConservativeDailyBlog.com show podcast. www.conservativedailyblog.com. Email address, conservativedailyblog@gmail.com. I'm going to continue with the research I unearthed from the Heritage Foundation, elaborating on Obama's plan. The Obama plan proposes a comprehensive, standardized federal health benefits structure, a massive expansion of federal regulatory authority over health insurance, and an enlargement of federal regulatory power over health care delivery, including defining of what constitutes quote-unquote quality care. Moreover, the plan would prop up the existing employer-based health insurance system and government health programs such as Medicaid and the State Children's Health Insurance Program, SCHIP, to expand insurance coverage. And in doing this, they would centralize control. The most significant change in the Obama plan is a proposal to consolidate even more control of health care dollars and decisions in Washington, D.C. Obviously, no doubt about that. And this is a radical departure from the decentralized decision-making system that sets the United States apart from other developing countries. His plan includes several initiatives that would give the federal government extensive control of the financing, delivery, and management of health care. These government initiatives would likely precipitate a rapid evolution towards a federal monopoly over the health care sector. And these initiatives include the following. New federal provision and control of health care. Obama's new government-run national health plan would compete directly with private health plans in a national health insurance exchange. Federal officials would not only run the new government plan, but also use the exchange as a watchdog, quote-unquote watchdog, over participating private health plans. The federal government would decide the level of health benefits that Americans would receive through the exchange. These rules would apply to the new national health plan and all participating private health care plans. That was okay. Let me stop for a second here. So, I mean, as I'm going to show you in the bill clearly states right on page 16, I believe. I mean, you can't even get through the first 20 pages where it clearly lays out that private insurance is illegal. And like I said, I'm going to get into it in a minute, but basically Obama's telling the insurance companies, the private insurance companies, to drop dead, because with the new proposal, I mean, slowly government will control it all. But in the meantime, the whole keeping them honest thing is really deceptive, because in reality, it's more about running them out, and the way they're going to do it is blanketed in a way of keeping them honest, or applying new rules, which would eventually, of course, run them out of business. And the new rules being the, I think we're going to get into a minute here, so I'm going to continue. Additional federal involvement in employer-based coverage. The Obama plan would make would mandate that employers provide a federally appropriated level of health benefits to their workers or pay a tax to help finance the government's new health plan. The plan does not specify the level of the employer contribution or the value, the required health benefits package size of the payroll tax. The federal government would also assume the high-end costs of employer-based coverage and provide a new taxpayer subsidy to small businesses to encourage them to offer coverage. In any case, the Obama prescription would end employer-based health insurance as million Americans know it. And next is the expansion of existing government health programs, restrictions on state experimentation and mandate coverage for children. And I think what they mean by the restrictions on state experimentation is the whole idea of federalism, where if a state has the freedom to, of course, institute a policy like Massachusetts has, where everyone is required to have health insurance or pay a tax, which is almost in line exactly with the Obama plan, which is a horrible failure. I don't have that on hand, but if you just, I'm sure you've heard in many news outlets, but go online and look up the Massachusetts healthcare system. And basically what this is, what the Obama plan is going to do is level the playing field completely, meaning that all states will follow the same precedent, and that there's no more experimentation, and it's everyone's the same, and everyone has to fall into place with this, or else pay the price. Okay, so the expansion of existing government health programs, restrictions on state experimentation and mandated coverage for children. The plan calls for unspecified expansions of Medicaid and SCHIP, and would severely limit the state's ability to develop health care reform proposals on their own. Additionally, it would require parents to ensure that their children have health care coverage. Federal regulation of health care delivery. The federal government would regulate the delivery of medical care through specific initiatives, such as those at the government medical reimbursement, and determine the comparative effectiveness of medical treatments and procedures. It would also increase the federal regulation of medical liability reform, prescription drugs, and health insurance. Now, how about the cost implications? The Heritage Foundation now lays out the price of what the Obama healthcare will entail and how much it would cost the taxpayer. And basically what they say, it's unclear. Independent economists have attempted to offer some estimates, but the lack of concrete details makes the true costs uncertain. And as you know, with every government program, the initial estimates are far, far below what they eventually wind up costing the American people. I mean, let's just look at Social Security and the existing Medicaid and Medicare as an example of government way underplaying the eventual cost of these programs. So there you have it. Heritage Foundation is a great site. They've been around since the Reagan years, giving great. They have a great team of researchers there and do great research. So check that out, Heritage. Just search on Google for Heritage Foundation. It's a good site, good research, good information. Interesting news story I just stumbled upon on the Drudge Report right now. This is just posted like an hour ago, I believe. The headline is, most will carry Obama conference. Time shifted after NBC balked. After some hesitation and a time shift, three major broadcasting networks have agreed to carry Barack Obama's latest primetime news conference. The event was announced Friday afternoon as Obama battles to bolster congressional support for an ambitious health care overhaul while facing dropping approval ratings. But broadcasters are struggling with falling approval ratings of their own. Nielsen's audience measurements show viewership in a summertime slump, and they're just the corporation, I think they're independent. They just independently research ratings for television like Arbitron does for radio. Anyways, I'm going to continue. The conference will mark the president's fourth primetime press event since he took office 6 months ago. Such interruptions tend to wreak havoc with network schedules and can cost millions in lost advertising. CBS, which airs only repeats that evening, agreed early Monday to cover the conference. But for NBC, Fox, and ABC, the decision was tougher. During a summer that's otherwise strewn with repeats, Wednesday includes all their top-rated reality programs. Fox declined outright to air the news conference, and NBC and ABC fell into the line late Monday after the White House shifted the event's time from the previously announced 9 p.m. to a lesser-watched hour of 8 p.m. The stakes were particularly high for NBC, the state-run NBC, as you know, in bed with the Obama administration on the cap-and-trade greenhouse gas proposal. The stakes were particularly high for NBC, which airs the most-watched show of the summer, America's Got Talent, at 9 p.m., and this week it includes a heavily promoted interview with Britain's Got Talent singing sessions sensation Susan Boyle. Yeah, that one lady, I guess. I don't follow. Sources said that NBC demonstrated reluctance to carry Obama's new news conference live and faced with the prospect of only one or two major broadcasters, CBS and ABC, covering it. The White House moved start time to 8 p.m. Whatever. I don't care. This is ridiculous. We don't live in a free republic anymore, people. We are ever so slowly approaching or marching to the beat of the communist drum. And we got to take this country back soon, or we're going to lose it. We're going to lose America as we've always known it. The founding fathers, man, if they were alive today, this is absolutely incredible. But I'm going to go ahead and go into the third and final break right now. Thank you guys for listening, continuing listening. www.conservativedailyblog.com, and I'll be right back. It is the ConservativeDailyBlog.com show podcast. Well, that's going to do it, folks. Another edition, another fine edition, I might say, of the ConservativeDailyBlog.com show podcast. Broadcasting today on July 20th, 2009. And my birthday's on Friday. I'll probably just spend the evening alone, like I usually do, especially on those long, dark, cold evening nights. Should be enjoyable. Perhaps enjoy a fine Honduran cigar, as I am 100% behind democracy and the people fighting for their freedoms in that small but unforgettable country. So I'm looking forward to this week, which is not something I typically would say, because in general, plenty to be thankful for, but not a lot to be hopeful about, I would say, when talking about politics, that is. But thank you people so much. The response to this show has been amazing. Continually check out www.conservativedailyblog.com. The news stories on there are not so much the popular stories, but ones that catch our eye, and I think that you would never see. I mean, none of these stories you're going to see on TV, but these stories especially would resonate with you, I think, more so than your typical batch of daily news. So check that out. The stories are always relevant, even if they're a few days old. And we are starting to sort through those a little bit. As you can see, if you go to the site, we sort them by culture and national security and things of that nature. So makes it a little bit more. We're always trying to expand and improve our website. And, of course, questions, comments, suggestions are welcome at conservativedailyblog@gmail.com. And we've been getting tons of response, and we thank you for your continual support and feedback in that manner. And this podcast is doing very well. Of course, when I started, I never imagined the response being as big as it is. But, you know, I would do it even if there was one other person listening, because if I can touch one person, then I'm making a difference. And I love this country and care about it very much, and I'm very saddened by the direction we are going down. So I can only hope and pray that the good of the American people and freedom and the will of our democracy shall overcome even the most ruthless, brutal tyrant, Barack Hussein Obama, will be stopped. If not now, perhaps in the next realm of leadership coming, hopefully in 2010 in the House, or of the Congress, Senate and House. But we shall see. In the meantime, stay safe, kiddies, and God bless. This is Brian from the ConservativeDailyBlog.com show podcast, saying see you next time. Peace out.